coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance amidst it all. The All Share gaining 0.2% today. We've had flat performances being put on by both the Resources 10 component and Industrial 25 space. So Financial 15 doing, as you can see there, bulk of the heavy lifting with its 0.9% climb. Joining me in studio now to have a closer look at the day's markets action, Nesan Nayar from Sasfin Securities. Thanks so much, Nesan, for joining us this evening. So all eyes are on the crucial vote in UK Parliament this evening, where Prime Minister Theresa May's draft Brexit agreement will be put before MPs. For now, which way do you see things swinging?
Oh, we're crossing fingers. You know, this is better than some of the soap operas that are available. You know, the truth is that what's really happened in the UK is that initially when they had the vote, I think people weren't sufficiently informed mm-hmm. about what the impact would be, and certainly how the sort of divorce would be implemented. Not even the politicians. You know, I've had some clients recently come back from the UK, and I was hoping they could give me some insight into, you know, what was really going on. And the only word they used to describe it was confusion. And I think we're all confused about it. I think from a market perspective, we would like a resolution one way or the other. So an exit with or without a deal, I think would provide some certainty. And then you'll be able to understand, you know, where the pound will settle. And if it means that they've got to spend the next 5 to 10 years renegotiating all those deals, you know, I think the market will be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But just to push the deadline out even further, you know, without having a clear understanding of, you know, what it would take to get a resolution, I think is going to be worse.
Because the kind of impact confusion has, I guess, clearly illustrated in the kind of numbers Quilter put out today, and also expressing, you know, how it's impacted investors' appetite to actually put capital to work at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Quilter's results, just on the face of it, I think were very good. And, you know, I spent some time going through the webcast, listening to the presentation. Here's a very competent group of guys that have a really good business with a good franchise in the UK that, you know, unfortunately are subjected to this uncertainty that is introduced into their business, you know, uncertain markets. Delayed client investments, which I think detract from their own investment case. I mean, their earnings were up, the earnings per share were up 15%. I thought they did phenomenally well in an environment where they had weak markets in 2018 and in an environment where clearly people are not ready to commit capital.
Absolutely. Well, FirstRand showing just how hard that investment banking space is with, you know, the one component of its business coming under pressure and that being offset by the likes of FNB. Your overall reading of the numbers FirstRand managed to put on the table, because certainly on a headline basis, it seems pretty impressive.
Listen, you know, if you look at FirstRand for the last 10 years, it's only been about FNB. You know, FNB's latest return on equity at FNB is 42%. And FNB, if you look at where they're getting this growth from, it's really from upsell and cross-sell. Mm-hmm. It's from higher transaction volumes. It's from getting more customers in. It's from loyalty programs. I mean, they certainly found an innovation and a niche in terms of what they're doing. If you look at Westbank was a huge disappointment, but it was always going to be a disappointment because, you know, where we find ourselves in the vehicle and asset business right now, would there be no actual negative demand in new vehicles? RMB, the concern there is the investment banking business seems to be generating a lot of the profits, you know, from private equity deals, investment banking deals, but what we call the flow businesses, RMB corporate, you know, the group treasury business, the earnings growth there was very, very muted. And I think it's a reflection of the environment more than anything else.
Absolutely. Well, talking about a reflection of the environment, we were chatting about it off air and how unreflective, you know, the bank's performance, whether you're looking at an APSA, FirstRand, a Standard Bank, is concerned, how, you know, it doesn't reflect what's playing out in certain industries within the South African economy, and the construction industry being a key one. Group 5 today, filing for business rescue, hardly comes as a surprise, but it is a shocker when it comes to the state of the industry and just how many players are left standing at the end of the day.
You know, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a good observation. If you extrapolate that theme, you know, Group 5, Issa Frankie, almost Avenge, not really yet Avenge, and Basil Reed, you know, almost three of the four of them are in business rescue and one is headed there quite quickly. And then if you extrapolate that even further, look at, you know, debt levels at Aspen, debt levels at Tongaat. Yes, it is a reflection of how poor things are in the economy, but you would have expected that with such high debt levels, you know, there would be one or two casualties in the banking sector. Mm. But, you know, we're just not seeing that. All the banks have reported, none of them have really highlighted, you know, extreme corporate exposure as one of the risks to earnings going forward. And, you know, we just wonder whether that's still coming, because it might be a little bit later in the cycle, or, you know, whether banks are sufficiently protected against that. You can add Edcon to that list.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be catching up with Alan Pullinger a little later on this evening. So definitely putting that question to him in terms of whether that risk is still to crop up in later earnings. For now, what's your stock pick, Nathan?
I'm going to go with Sasol. You know, I know it's a traditional sort of business. I think Sasol, people have been waiting for so long for this chemical project to come on stream. They're finally getting it up and running this year. And I think as they start bringing in more and more product into the pipeline, I think investors will warm to it. And, you know, I expect it to be one of the star performers.
Let's leave it there, Nathan. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Nathan Nayar is with Sasfin Securities. What's your stock pick, Nathan?
I'm going to go with Sasol. You know, I know it's a traditional sort of business. I think Sasol, people have been waiting for so long for this chemical project to come on stream. They're finally getting it up and running this year. And I think as they start bringing in more and more product into the pipeline, I think investors will warm to it. And, you know, I expect it to be one of the star performers.
Let's leave it there, Nathan. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Nathan Nayar is with Sasfin Securities.